Now, LSU didn't sign a single recruit on National Signing Day on Wednesday, and that's okay. They signed 25 in the early national signing period, but they still have 5 scholarships left. What did they do with them? We'll get into that plus so much more on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, you can find us on YouTube as well. Locked On LSU, just hit that subscribe button and you won't miss a single second of your Locked On LSU content. Now, on Locked On LSU yesterday, I broke down offensively some areas that LSU could improve upon with their 5 remaining scholarships in the spring transfer portal period. So before I get into how LSU could improve defensively within the spring transfer period and fulfill all 5 of those remaining scholarships, I want to let you know that today's edition of Locked On LSU is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. So LSU, for the first time ever, didn't sign a single recruit on National Signing Day on Wednesday. And you might be thinking, wait, National Signing Day was Wednesday? Yeah, because it just doesn't have as much pomp and circumstance as it used to have. It doesn't have the same feeling that it used to have, because by now, at this point where we are with recruiting and where high school students are and their commitments, they know by October. They know by December. They might even know by their junior year. An astonishing stat is that 293 of the top ESPN 300 recruits already committed in the early signing period. One of those 6 remaining was Jaden Rashada, who already signed in the early signing period, and then of course was asked to be released of his national letter of intent from Florida for NIL reasons. So there you go. I mean, almost every single ESPN 300 player had already signed. So it's not a big deal. It's not a reason to worry. Calm down. It's going to be okay. If you are freaking out, if you're not good, you have no reason to be. But the interesting thing here is LSU still has 5 scholarships to fill in the 2023 class. They have 25 signees through recruiting. They have 25 kids coming in from high school. They have 11 in the transfer portal. Again, the top transfer portal class in the country. So how does LSU fill those remaining scholarships? Transfer portal reopens in spring. I think that'll be a good opportunity for some positional battles to play out, both at LSU and elsewhere, and for some players to kind of find their final landing spot for the 2023 season. And looking offensively, I said you can always use more quarterbacks. LSU has a room of 3 quarterbacks. Of course, Jaden Daniels, Garrett Nussmeier, Ricky Collins. Can always use more quarterbacks. I wouldn't be opposed to adding another one in the spring transfer portal window just for insurance. Would not be opposed to adding some more tight ends. Mason Taylor is the only returner coming back in 2023. You got 3 4-stars coming in, 2 4-stars, 1 3-star, and Jackson McGohan coming in 2023. You could use a veteran tight end. I also said you can always add more interior offensive line depth. We saw this past year that you can have some injuries now on the offensive line, and that can really, be pretty detrimental to your football team. So let's look at the defense today. If you want to find the full breakdown offensively, you can find that on your preferred podcast platform. You can find that on YouTube. Wherever you want to check that out, you can find us there. But let's look at the defense today. Where defensively can LSU use some depth? Let's start on the defensive line. Let's start on the inside, in the interior defensive line. LSU has 3 guys coming in through the transfer portal: Parrish Shand, Jalen Lee, and Jordan Jefferson. Parashan coming in from Arizona. He has 2 years plus that redshirt year remaining of eligibility. Jalen Lee from Florida is coming in with 2 years plus that year of redshirt eligibility. And then Jordan Jefferson coming in from West Virginia. Now, he has 1 year of eligibility, but can exercise that redshirt year as well. And then you have your returning guys. You've got Mason Smith, who that's going to be a huge contribution. Sometimes I forget that Mason, like looking at the 2022 season, I don't want to say that I forget about Mason Smith, but just Mason Smith being out for the entire year with an injury, sometimes I think, oh my gosh, yes, that's such a wonderful surprise of Mason Smith. So he'll be coming in. He should be good to go. Of course, recovering from that ACL tear against Florida State earlier this year. So you've got Mason Smith. Mekhi Wingo coming back for his second year at LSU, but his third year in college football after spending that first year at Missouri. Mekhi Wingo is coming in with 2 years of eligibility. And then those are your returning starters. You've got two guys that are returning in Savion Jones and Bryce Langston, guys that weren't starters but did see the field. Savion Jones, I think, is going to be one that you don't want to forget that name. Because even though he may not have played a massive role this year, even though he didn't play a starting role this year, I think that Savion Jones for the past 2 years has been groomed to take over a starting role, whether it's in the interior or on the outside. You know, don't forget that Savion Jones could be a candidate to take over that Jack linebacker position that has been left open by BJ Ojulari entering the transfer portal. And then also Quincy Wiggins will be returning as well. He redshirted this past year, so he could play more of a role this year, can compete in spring practice to play a larger role. So you look at that, you've got two returning starters, one coming off of an injury. So Mason Smith, you know, put a little bit of asterisk by it. I don't know how 100% he really will be. I usually look at ACLs to be about 12 months. So that's putting you right at the beginning of the season. Are you going to need some insurance just in case Mason Smith isn't quite 100% by week one? I have no reason to believe that he wouldn't, but I like insurance around here. So I would say maybe, you know, look at some of the guys on the inside. Look at some guys on the defensive line to maybe add in this transfer portal window. I don't think you can ever have too many insurance pieces. Now, when I say insurance pieces, you aren't going to get, you know, fours and five stars in the transfer portal. You're not going to get, you know, these guys that have been starters for years at these programs. You're probably going to get younger guys. You might be getting guys that couldn't quite find their way in the rotation. But that's okay, because you're really just looking for insurance. I think that LSU has a really solid core of potential starters in Mekhi Wingo, Mason Smith, those three transfers coming in. We'll see how they kind of adjust, excuse me, to the expectations at LSU. I think you've got a solid foundation and a solid core. I never hate to see a little bit more insurance, especially considering some of those guys that I mentioned on the inside, especially a Quincy Wiggins or a Savion Jones. They could be guys that could shift to the outside. So here are your edge guys, your outside guys that have transferred in to LSU. So this is the group that you're looking at in 2023. You've got Ovi Ogufo from Notre Dame and from Texas. Coming in from Texas, originally started at Notre Dame. He has 1 year of eligibility remaining. You've got Braden Swinson from Oregon, who has 2 years of eligibility remaining. So you've got at least guys that have experience in college football, a couple of guys with, you know, Power 5 experience, and also Ovi Ogufo being one who knows Brian Kelly, who, you know, has played under Brian Kelly before. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, this light is driving me absolutely crazy. So if it's annoying you too, you're not alone. And then they've also got three recruits coming in to be kind of that Jack linebacker, edge rusher kind of guy. I don't see any of these guys, with the exception of one, being starters, and that's Deshaun Womack. That's your five star, the number one recruit coming in from Maryland. I asked John Garcia Jr. last week. I said, "Who do you think, if anyone, in this 2023 recruiting class could contribute right away?" He mentioned Deshaun Womack in that conversation. So I think that is one that, in addition to Ovi Ogufo and Braden Swinson, could compete to be that Jack guy. We could see start maybe even on the inside. So look at Deshaun Womack, and then also Dylan Carpenter, a three-star edge rusher out of Sanibel. Jackson Howard, a four-star, the number one recruit out of Minnesota. Those might be, you know, some more developmental guys. But look at Deshaun Womack, look at Braden Swinson, look at Ovi Agufo, all guys that could kind of fill in BJ Ojulari's jack linebacker edge rusher role going into 2023. Now, coming up next, I want to look at the rest of the defense, how that those five scholarships remaining could be used on the rest of the defense. We'll get into that coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell you about FanDuel. I love FanDuel. And if you want to place some bets on the Super Bowl, why wouldn't you? FanDuel is the only app that you are going to need to use at your Super Bowl party. It's America's number one America's number one sportsbook is FanDuel. So we're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sportsbook in America, and it is FanDuel. So if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better, I promise you. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. So download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything. They've got money line, point spreads, all the way down to who will score a touchdown. They've got a bunch of fun prop bets, and you can also put those into a little parlay. If you think the Eagles are going to win, but you also think Patrick Mahomes is going to score a touchdown, I think that's a pretty safe bet. You can do that with FanDuel for better odds with a parlay. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. And best of all, you get paid your winnings instantly. One of my favorite things about the FanDuel Sportsbook app is if you hit a bet and you want to take that money out, you can do that and you get paid instantly. But you can also leave that money in your account and you can continue to wager with your credits in FanDuel. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockedon to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. So as a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 totally depends on who you bring in at the beginning of the year. So that's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people who have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. So I am a radio host. I work for a radio station. And in the middle of football season, one of our producers left to pursue a better opportunity. So we're scrambling in the busiest time of the year to try and find a producer that we trust. So we went to LinkedIn Jobs and we found someone quickly because LinkedIn Jobs uses this great technology that'll only bring the best candidates to you. They will use their targeting tools and they'll filter out candidates who might not have the right expertise or might not have the experience that you're looking for. Because LinkedIn goes beyond resume data and uses insights from your job post, from your company, and the 875 million, think about that, 875 million member profiles to put your post in front of the most qualified candidates. So identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs and connect them fast and for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy for you to screen and rate applicants based on your job qualifications all on one platform. So that's why small businesses rank LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates that you want to talk to faster. So post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/lockedoncollege. That is LinkedIn.com/lockedoncollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Well, thanks again for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Make sure that you check out our brand new podcast, Locked On College Basketball. Everything that you need to know about college basketball all in one place, and I promise you they are the best. You can hear from big name experts, insiders, coaches, and players. Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. So like I mentioned, LSU has five scholarship places remaining. And look, I'm not divvying up my scholarships because I think I've already named five position groups that could use depth. I'm just highlighting position groups that could use a little bit of love. I'm just highlighting a couple position groups that I say, oh, yeah, that could be one that LSU absolutely could target. So I mentioned interior defensive line absolutely is something that LSU could take a look at. We've got three players in the transfer portal, only two returning starters, and one of them is coming off of an injury, and that's Mason Smith. Don't know if Mason Smith is going to be able to be 100%. Maybe he is, and if so, then that's wonderful. But still, let's look at some inside guys. That wouldn't hurt. Look at the linebacker position. I think this position has, I don't want to say saved because I think that's so dramatic, but at least I feel so much more comfortable with Omar Spates transferring in. Omar Spates is a dog. Like I mentioned on a podcast a few weeks ago, when Omar Spates originally did decide to commit to LSU, of course, he was a four-year starter at Oregon State. At the linebacker position, he has 1 year of eligibility remaining. I shared a message that a friend of mine who went to Oregon State and has been covering Oregon State for the longest. He said that he is just a dude. You know, he's a great guy in the locker room, wonderful leader. And also when the pads come on, he is vicious. So I think that makes me feel so much better about the linebacker position. But you've got three returners in West Weeks, Greg Penn, and then obviously Harold Perkins. Whatever position group Harold Perkins is part of, you're going to feel good about. We've also got two recruits coming in, a four-star, Whit Weeks, and I swear my head can't keep the two between West Weeks and Whit Weeks straight. They're brothers. Of course, a four-star linebacker coming out of Georgia. And then Christian Brathwaite, a four-star out of Texas. This is another position group that I would look at and say, you know, even more depth in addition to Omar Spates wouldn't be a bad thing. And I even could look at it and say, maybe not even just a depth piece. Maybe you could find a guy out there that could help contribute right away. You know, Omar Spates is going to be a great player. Harold Perkins, obviously, I assume that he takes a step forward in year two, which is hard to imagine with the year one that he had. But wouldn't hate a little bit of linebacker depth, even if it's just linebacker depth that could help you right away, or even linebacker depth in terms of a guy that could come help you next year. You only got two recruits at that position. It wouldn't hurt to grab at least a little bit more depth and options there. Looking at corner, this is an area where LSU absolutely cleaned up in the transfer portal. Like, this cornerback group is like almost going to be entirely comprised of transfer portal players. And I will highlight them. But so my co-host in Nashville, his old co-host, was a general manager in the NFL. And he always used to say, you can never have too many corners. And out of every position, I'm like, really, corners? But I mean, he knows the game. And obviously the pro game is different than the college game. And your needs and roster construction is going to be a little different. But football is football. And he said you can never have too many corners. So I'll say always, every year, you can never have too many corners per an NFL GM. So I'll always say you can add more. But you brought in, I mean, you got a haul in the transfer portal. Zy Alexander from Southeastern, who has 2 years of eligibility remaining. J.K. Johnson from Ohio State, who has 3 years of eligibility remaining. Deuce Chestnut from Syracuse, who was a dog at Syracuse. John Garcia Jr. loves him. He has 2 years of eligibility remaining. I'm getting excited. I can't even stumble over my words. Denver Harris, who is one of the top transfer portal players in this class, who's one of the highest, highly recruited transfer portal players in this class. He has 3 years from Texas A&M. Plus, you've got your returners in Seven Banks and LaTerrence Welch. I don't, like, out of every position group with returners, that's the most underwhelming to me. And that's no disrespect to LaTerrence Welch or Seven Banks, but Seven Banks was injured all last year. LaTerrence Welch is young, had very limited experience on the field. So I'm underwhelmed with the returners, but very, very, very goodly whelmed. It's not a term, with the recruit in class coming in. And Javion Toviano, five-star from Texas, again, one of the highest recruited players coming in out of the 2023 class, five-star from Texas. Ashton Stamps, a local kid out of Metairie, three-star. And then Jeremiah Hughes from Bishop Gorman, a three-star out of Vegas. So you can never have too many corners. You can always add a lot of corners, but LSU absolutely did get a haul in the transfer portal at the cornerback position. But coming up next, there's a new rule, or bylaw rather, in college sports. And I want to break down my thoughts about it. And we'll get into that coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell you about Built Bar. Because if you are looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want to sacrifice the fat and the calories, then you have to try Built Bar. It's perfect for your sweet tooth. Because if you want to eat a little bit healthier this year, but you don't really want to get rid of your candy bars or your desserts, then this is the perfect thing for you. You have got to try Built Bar. Healthy is actually tasty with Built Bar. I mean, they're so delicious, you won't even think that they're good for you. They're perfect for your New Year's resolution because they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That is right, 100% real chocolate. And they come in delicious dessert flavors like churro and peanut butter brownie and coconut almond. But you don't have to sacrifice your health. There are only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein in them. I mean, I throw them in my bag at the beginning of the day and I'll eat a Built Bar in the middle of the day as a little pick-me-up. It keeps me full for hours. It keeps me going and I get to have a nice little treat to indulge in the middle of the day, but I don't have to sacrifice the calories. And now you don't have to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been saying you can find them at Built.com, which you can, but now you can get them at your local stores. Head to Walmart and go to the pharmacy section. Grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or the coconut puffs. Or if you're closer to Sam's Club, you can run in there as well. You can grab a 13-bar box, a bulk box, with our hit flavors, brownie batter and churro. You can thank me later. Okay, so this was some news coming down from Nicole Auerbach, who I love her work. She does wonderful work for The Athletic. This is an article that was released on Thursday, talking about a new bylaw called the NIL Presumption Bylaw. And it was instituted by the NCAA in an attempt to kind of streamline NIL. Because the initial intention of NIL is it's a quid pro quo transaction. I give you something, a la I'm a high school player, and I will be in commercials, I will post social media posts, I'll promote your product. And you give me something, meaning you pay me. That's NIL, name, image, and likeness. Let's say I am Caroline Fenton, LSU football player. Raising Cane's pays me for my name, image, and likeness to put on commercials. They pay me. I do a commercial for them. Boom. We all know that. But we also all know, or we all kind of assumed, that once NIL became legal, then there were going to be ways around the quid pro quo of NIL. There are going to be ways to avoid, or going to be ways rather to use NIL as a recruiting tool. And we've seen that absolutely has been the case. So this new bylaw, again known as the NIL Presumption Law, is the NCAA's attempt at trying to eliminate pay for play and make sure that NIL is used solely in the way that it was intended to use. Now we know the Supreme Court doesn't agree on anything, does not unanimously agree on anything. This was one thing that the Supreme Court did unanimously agree on. This was one thing that the Supreme Court said, hey, look, you cannot put a cap on how much money these players make. So when I hear a lot of people like Lane Kiffin saying, oh, we need some sort of guidelines here, you can't. It's really difficult to put guidelines on NIL. You're going to do a cap? Can't do that. That's against the law. You're going to say, well, you know, this player can only make this much money, or this position group can only make this much money. You can't do that. You're going to say, oh, this player cannot pursue this NIL deal. You can't do that. That's all against the law. So what can the NCAA do? In this new bylaw, it means that the NCAA will enforce NIL solely based off of tips. So if a media outlet or a reputable source comes forward to the NCAA and says, I think that school XYZ has been breaking NIL rules and this is my evidence, I will bring this forward to you, then the NCAA will go to that school, to school XYZ, and will say, we have been informed that you are breaking NIL rules. So therefore, you need to prove to me that what you're doing is legal. If you can't prove it to me, then I don't know. So that's basically what it is it's now a bylaw that says that other schools have the right to come forward and to say other schools aren't following this rule, and that school would now be the other school that had been accused is now responsible for clearing their name. Now look, I have my gripes with the NCAA. I think that it doesn't really do much to help student athletes. But I think that this is such a last-ditch effort for the NCAA to try and have some sort of relevancy or at least some sort of leash on NIL. Because I don't see a world where this works. One, what's the punishment? What, like, if school XYZ accuses school ABC of not following rules correctly, well, then how long does school ABC have to clear their name? Is it a year? Is it 2 months? Is it 2 weeks? Is there a statute of limitations on this thing? And if they can't break, if the evidence that school ABC brings to the NCAA, who's to say it's sufficient or not? Is there going to be a group of people that all of the school presidents and athletic directors vote upon to say, okay, yeah, this is the right group of people to be able to deem my clearing of my name sufficient or not? That's what I want to know. What is known or what is considered a legitimate tip? And in this article written by Nicole Auerbach, she did her due diligence and she asked, is it as simple as a message board? Like, is somebody on Tiger Droppings going to accuse Jimbo Fisher of buying players and that's going to be enough for the NCAA to be knocking on Texas A&M's door and saying, hey, like, I think that you're going against the book? And the NCAA says, no, like, we're going to be smart with this. And there's smart people there. As many gripes as I might have, there's smart people. And they're not going to run with Joe Schmo on Twitter accusing whoever of breaking the rules. They're going to do their due diligence there. However, what is considered legitimate? You know, what's stopping somebody from, you know, bringing something forward and is considered a reputable source, even if it's not true or not? And now that school has to cover their bases. Also, my next question is, what's stopping schools from making some phony baloney contracts that make the threshold of fulfilling that NIL deal so low that it's almost impossible to not do it? Like, what's stopping schools from saying, okay, everybody that has an NIL deal, or at least any player that we want to quote unquote pay to play, we can just have them sign a contract and say, for you to earn your $10 million deal that our collective is raising for you, you have to tweet and say, thank you, school ABC, for offering me this deal. Or, you know, what's stopping them to say, you need to go take these promotional photos with a local business in town, and we just need one photo and that's it. You see what I mean? Like, there's no standard for what a contract can be. So if there's a player that's making $10,000 from an NIL deal and there's another player that's making $10 million from the exact same NIL deal with the exact same qualifications that other player does, there's nothing stopping anyone from saying that you can't do that. So, like, while I understand the NCAA feels the need to at least bring something up to say, okay, well, this is our effort to try and get you all to police yourselves. I get it. I understand it. I know that there are probably so many coaches and ADs and presidents behind closed doors knocking on the NCAA and saying, please do something about this. You know, we're getting eaten alive out here. I just don't see a world where this works. Because the first school AD, president, media tip that goes to the NCAA, well, they now have a target on their backs. Nobody wants to, you know, everyone's in this fraternity of college football, coaches, players, ADs, whatever it might be. And nobody wants to go against the fraternity because as soon as you do, they go against you. And now you are going to be stuck to deal with it. You know, we are all naive to think that there are a lot of these deals going out there that don't fall within the bylaws of NIL. We also would be very naive to think that those kind of NIL rules are being followed to the T by the book by every single school in the U.S. You really think so? All this does to me is create more red tape and create more loopholes for schools that want to break the rules. There are ways around it. Whenever you bring in a new rule, there are ways around it. So I understand that the NCAA is in a really tough spot here. I don't think this affects NIL. I really don't think that this is going to change anything with NIL. And it surely doesn't change anything with LSU. Because if LSU wants to do what LSU wants to do, they're going to find ways to do it. And they're going to probably find ways to cover their tracks. And that's not just specific to LSU. That's any school in America. If you want to do what you want to do, you're going to do it. But you're going to make sure that if somebody come snitching, you're going to be able to cover your bases. You'll have a paper trail there. So, poor NCAA, really, just trying to remain relevant in this NIL era. I don't think that this bylaw is really going to do anything. And I think I also have a ton of questions about how effective this can really be and how is the process going to look. So we'll continue to follow that as the process begins to pan out over the next few weeks. But that's going to do it for me today. Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. And thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day for the past year. Today is the one-year anniversary of Locked On LSU, or at least my involvement in Locked On LSU. So thank you all for being here every single day. This has been such a wonderful and fun passion project for me. I love talking about the school and the teams that I love with you, with the teams that you love. I love talking about what you want to talk about. I love being in this space with you. It truly is an honor to be able to be welcomed into your headphones, your cars, your TVs, wherever you might listen every day. So thank you for the past year, and let's make year two even better. But thanks for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Make sure you check out our brand new podcast, Locked On College Basketball, everything that you need to know about college basketball, all in one place. Plus, you can hear from big name experts, insiders, coaches, and players. Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.